This is Commons Cast, the official podcast of the Martha Rivers Ingram Commons at Vanderbilt University, featuring Q&A with the Dean, the Commons Calendar, and a first-year resident interviewing various humans of the Commons. Now, here's Q&A with Dean Melissa Grisolfi.
This is Abby Woods, and welcome back to another episode of Q&A with the Dean. Welcome back, Dean Grisolfi. How are you today?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Great. All right. So recently on campus, we've been going through another round of midterms or just another round of exams. I feel like last week I had a bunch of exams, and I know this week we also have a lot of exams. And then on top of that, a lot of students are getting that common cold, I guess, from the weather changing. So have you been seeing that with the students, that morale is just kind of, like everyone is just feeling kind of gross lately?
You know, I hadn't noticed that, but it is partly because we didn't have any dean's dinners this week. So yeah. I have not been hanging out with people this week. And so my last encounter with lots of people was the Commons Ball. And that was pretty fun. And
that was really fun.
Glad you liked it. So I haven't seen it. But I mean, I do think it's typical this time of the semester. We're not quite halfway. There's something once you've reached the halfway point where, you know, you start to get excited. But we haven't quite reached that yet.
Right.
So, yeah, this is a natural slump.
That's good to know. Do you have any advice for students that are just kind of, you know, in that slump, just to kind of push through these tests?
You know, I think some advice I have, I've probably shared on here before, right? That you just have to find something special in the short term to keep you going. You know, if you can figure out what's going to motivate you to try, even though you don't feel like it, or, you know, and it can be something tiny, like, well, there's that like dessert that I've looked at that, you know, I have resisted, or, you know, I'll watch a movie that I've been really wanting to see, or, you know, whatever it is that motivates you, like finding that it doesn't have to be huge to be rewarding. So finding some tiny things that you can keep an eye on. And then, so personally for me, it is really helpful to do a big countdown to something I'm looking forward to. So
I do the same thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, spring break is actually not that far away.
Right. It's so nice just to kind of see that in the future and know that it's coming closer, and it's really exciting for all of us students. And then follow-up question. So when we're studying for tests, I know you were studying a lot of education in the math department. Mm-hmm. Do you have any study tips? I've seen a lot on TikTok that I'm like, does that really work? Like, I've heard people chewing gum studies, if you chew the same flavor gum when you take the test. Like, do you have any like advice for studying? I don't even know if that works.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so so here's how memory works. Uh-huh. So basically, when you are encountering new information, the likelihood of it sort of landing in your long-term memory and you being able to recall that information has to do with how you worked with that information in the first place. And so the more ways you can work with information, the more elaborated that idea becomes. And what that means is that you're connecting that idea to lots of other ideas. And so, for example, part of the reason why it's often easier to remember something that's set to music is because it's not only the lyrics that you remember, it's the lyrics in relation to the words. And so once you hear the melody, often the lyrics will come back to you.
Interesting.
Right? And so that is because you have encoded that information in multiple ways, right? Both in terms of the melody and the words. And so you only have to hear one for that to activate actually the memory. So the gum chewing thing is not a great piece of advice, but it's not a terrible piece of advice. It certainly can do no harm. But basically the idea would be if you're reading something and, you know, and you're paying attention, like even subconsciously, to the flavor of the gum, that if you're chewing that gum in the exam, that could be a thing that activates the memory.
Interesting.
I think there are other better strategies. Right. Like I said, that one doesn't hurt. But basically the thing to know is, the more you work with an idea, the more easily you will be able to recall it. And so if you're someone who, so part of the reason why cramming for an exam doesn't work, for example, is because you are simply not giving yourself enough time to really engage with the information. And by engage, I mean, think about why it makes sense. Think about an example, think about a counterexample, like don't just repeat something over and over again. Flashcards in general are not a great way to encode information unless the flashcards are actually like helping you to think about something in more than one way. But like as a French major, for example, I think in languages, we often make a lot of flashcards, right? The one language on one side, one language on the other side. And that's actually not terrible. If you're doing, like, if you're cramming one night and then your exam is the next day. Because there's it is also the case that recent connections are easier to retrieve. But over the long term, and that can include just the semester, those kinds of ideas that you haven't really deeply encoded are going to be much harder to retrieve. They're still there in your memory, but you have very few connections to the idea. And so you mostly just want to think about, like, when you're trying to understand something, this is why studying in groups is a great tip always, because not only do you have to think about the information differently if you're explaining it to someone else, you also then, even if you're listening to someone else, actively listening to someone else, their voice becomes another sort of piece of input.
Interesting. So, yeah. I'll have to use that on my next couple exams. And then this is a fun one. So if you could pick any of your colleagues to study with or to rip off of, who do you think would be the best person to study with?
Oh, well, the worst person for me to study with. Let me start that there. The worst person for me to study with would be Professor Noble, because he is, I mean, so he's like really interesting data analyst, and not in any way saying that he's not amazing, because he is, but he is so funny and distracting. And he's always joking around. So I think I would get distracted by Dr. Noble.
You guys would just be hanging out.
Yeah, I assume. actually, it's interesting because, you know, obviously I don't have to really study anymore, but I do collaborate and write with people all the time. And there's lots of people I love to write with. But one professor in particular here at Vanderbilt who's in my department, Lonnie Horn, she's just like a really focused and also really creative and also brings in the fun. And so I love working with her.
That's awesome. All right. A big thank you to all of our listeners. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of Q&A with the Dean. This is Abby Woods. Till next time. And next up is this week's Commons Calendar.
Hey Doors, I'm Daniela Aguilar, and I'm hosting this week's Commons Calendar, where I fill you in on upcoming events at Vanderbilt. First up, on Thursday, February 16th, the Association of Latin American Students will be hosting a post-Valentine's Day Día del Amor mixer. There will be trivia, prizes, tote bag painting, Latin food, friends, and so much more. If you want to meet new people or just want to stop by, make sure to be at the MCS Ballroom at 6:30 p.m. Next up is an event that so many students have been waiting for, the Lunar New Year Festival. It will be taking place the 18th from 7 to 10 p.m. at Langford Auditorium. This year's theme is Luminary and is based on the cross-cultural Asian legends of a rabbit in the moon. There will be over 350 student performers in 20 different acts, plus delicious food, a photo booth, and crafts. You don't want to miss out, so remember to buy your tickets online or at the Surratt box office. Are you a first-gen student looking to meet other first-gen students? Well, the First VU Brunch sounds like the perfect event for you. At the event, you will learn about how you can participate in first-gen initiatives on campus and network with fellow first-gen students over a wonderful brunch, including croissants and yogurts. I hope to see you at the CASAM NPR room at 11 a.m. on Sunday the 19th. Lastly, on the 20th, The Wondry will be hosting a Tier 1 sewing workshop for beginners in which you can learn basic hand and machine sewing skills. Applications for your new knowledge will include sewing on buttons, clothing repairs, and making personally designed tote bags. Clearly, these skills would come in handy, so make sure to register for the workshop on the Wondry's website. That brings us to the end of this week's Commons Calendar. There is always something fun to do when you're at Vanderbilt. Thank you for listening. Now, onto the Humans of the Commons segment.
Hey Doors, I'm Igan Iscario, a first-year student here at Vanderbilt and your host for this week's Human of the Commons interview. My guest is Maddie Pinto, a first-year student from Daytona Beach, Florida, majoring in economics with a minor in data science. She also lives in Hank Ingram House. Maddie, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Igan.
So, little context, everyone. Me and Maddie have known each other since the beginning of the year, and I feel like ever since I met you, you've changed so much as a person, and I've witnessed so much growth within you. So I just want to talk a little bit about the reinventing yourself just like the process of reinventing yourself in college when you're around all these different sites, people, places, experiences. So if you want to talk a little bit about how you've introspected after the new year about how you've grown as a person.
I mean, yeah, coming into college, I mean, I was pretty introverted. In high school, it took me until my senior year, really, to come out of my shell. So then coming here, not knowing anyone, like not going to a state school where like all the people there were from my high school, it was scary at first. I didn't really know how to make friends because all my friends before, like I've known since elementary school. But then I met you, Igen, like probably 3 weeks in. And I only had like acquaintances, not really any real friends. But then you started inviting me to all my things. And I was told to say yes to everything and to never say no.
That's, do we want to unpack that?
I mean, I guess we can. So, you know, I have a psychiatrist. Who like helps me with my anxiety.
Okay.
And he told me, you know, you should keep saying yes to things.
Okay.
You know.
So this was in reference to like obviously the fear of missing out that everyone experiences on their first few months on campus. So tell us about that experience and how you like dealt with it or whatever.
I mean, you would invite me to things and I'd just be like, yes, I'll go. Like you invited me to like your movie nights and I'd be like, of course, I'll show up. So I went to movie night and then you invited me to the picnic and I was like, I don't know if I want to go to this picnic. It's like right after class. And like,
and that's where you met Michael.
And that's where, well, no, I knew Michael from my class, but we walked there. Okay. And then I'm making friends with Michael and you. And then I met also like Kelsey and Vincent there.
Mm.
Yeah.
So would you say that putting yourself out there had its very good benefits, of course, but can you talk a little bit about the drawbacks of that?
The drawbacks? Well, obviously, I think it distracted me maybe from doing some things. Like before, I would just like sit in my room and do work all day. Mm. And obviously, when you have like friends, you don't just sit in your room and do work all day.
Right.
So I think that like, I don't know, interacting with more people and like people that also have like different majors, like a different lifestyle that like influenced me to like maybe try different things that I wouldn't have done before.
Yeah. So you obviously went from like a really secluded lifestyle into like bursting with social butterfly energy. So from going from one side of the extreme to the other, what can you say about the school life balance that you have found yourself in now that works for you?
Okay, so like before, when I didn't have many friends here for like 3 weeks, I would just go to class and then study between classes and then go back to my dorm and study more. And like now that I have like, you know, more of a group of friends, I study with them. Yeah. Obviously, like I've learned to like, I can like study like anywhere basically. I don't have to study in my dorm or like in a library. I can just like sit like rand and study. Mm. So I think it just taught me to be like more accommodating.
Yeah. Be more adaptable.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a good thing in terms of like working in groups moving forward?
Yeah, obviously. Like it gives you like, you don't have to be like in a certain place doing a certain thing and like being in like a certain mood to study. Like I can just do it like when I have the time now.
Speaking of study spots, where's your go-to?
My go-to?
Or like actually, let me rephrase the question into two sub questions. Where's the one place that you find yourself most of the time? And what's the other place that you ideally would want to be in as an academic weapon? Because those two are very different. One's very practical, like, oh, I always find myself here. But then there's that other part of your brain that's like, oh, like if I was like that girly who has her life together, I would study here, you know?
Okay. So I'm always in Stevenson.
Okay.
Because like that's where like my math class is. Like even when I did like chem and bio, like that's where my classes were. And then I just find myself in Stevenson all the time. Mm. But if I was that girly, I'd be studying in Owens. But Owens is, you know, we're locked down now.
Okay.
So we'll have to see if I can get in there.
Okay. Is that, that's so funny that that mirrors your journey from being pre-med to being a business econ girly. So can you talk about how that whole pipeline of just going from wanting a career in medicine into just saying, oh, I want to do economics and money and stuff.
Okay, so there's a whole story. Like back in eighth grade, I was watching Grey's Anatomy.
Oh my
And
gosh.
I was like, oh my goodness, maybe this lifestyle is for me. Like, who knows?
What
like,
lifestyle is screwing everyone at the hospital?
You never know. You never know. I was like, you never know what happens at those hospitals. So I was like, you know, maybe
that's why they have to clean everything.
I know. Yeah, it's sterile. So I was like, maybe this is what I want. I tell my parents, they're like, yes, this is what you need to do. I was like, oh, okay. Like literally a week later, I like to change my mind. And I was like, but like it was too late because like I started taking like chem and bio. Like I literally took chem and bio all 4 years of high school.
Really?
So I was like really invested in that. And like I shadowed like doctors and stuff. And like my parents are friends with lots of doctors and I'd have conversations with them. And I was like convinced this is what I'm going to do. And then also, you know how like everyone like goes in like pre-med, like literally like everyone, like when I was thinking about going to UF, like I would be in like the group patio and every single person there was like, hi, my name's like this and I'm pre-med. And I was like, oh, I have to be. And like, I'm going to stay. I'm not going to get weeded out like these people.
Yeah.
Then I decided to come here, still choosing to do pre-med. And I literally hated chem and bio my senior year of high school because I was taking both higher level.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? Maybe like this is a new year, new me, different school. I can do it. Come here. I literally hate it still. And then I was thinking, like, what do I like? And I remember, like, when I was taking my finals, my senior of high school, like, I found out, like, more about, like, I was looking more into economics and, like, consulting and stuff. And I told my parents, like, what if I wanted to do that? And they were like, no. Like, if you're coming to Vanderbilt, you're doing pre-med.
Yeah.
So I was like, I guess I can't do that. But then eventually I started, like, seeing, like, you know, you again. You were like, you need to do HOD. You need to do HOD.
And I was partly kidding, but it's also very practical in terms of, like, the requirements and stuff.
And then I was, like, looking into, like, other stuff, like, possibly, like, econ. And then I was talking to my father about it, and he was like, you know, I support that. So then I changed all my classes during open enrollment. And now I'm taking classes I actually enjoy.
That's good.
And, you know, I feel like I can follow down this path.
That's so great to hear. So I wanted to talk a bit about this because it sounds like you had an idea of what you wanted to do in high school and you wanted to extrapolate that into a career you wanted to do in the future. So I think the thread that you were trying to follow was like, oh, I like helping people. I like being of service to people. And you thought the natural progression of that is to pre-med. But obviously you found that being more involved with like economics and stuff like that, do you think that strand of like wanting to help other people is still there? And how would you say your way of processing that in terms of like your basic interest translating to a specific area or field that you want to look into the future? Because there's a lot of overlap with a lot of different fields. So like, how did you find that for yourself specifically with economics?
I mean, obviously, like, pre-med, like, it's pretty obvious, like, what you're doing with helping. Like, you're gonna, you know, make someone feel better, like, physically. But, like, with economics, you can help, like, in a different way, like, financially or, like help them with their business. And I find, like, helping anyone in any way is just something that I want to do.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I want to do in life. I want something that I feel proud about. I honestly feel like I'd feel more accomplished doing something like that rather than, like, I don't know, become a doctor. I know that sounds like bad. Like, I don't know.
Personal to you.
It's personal to me. Like, just helping someone. Because, like, I know, like, if you can help someone with, like, their financial issues or just, like, you know, sort something out, like, a problem, an issue for someone, I feel like that can help, like, their anxiety. And struggling with anxiety myself, like, I want to help people, like, with that. Whereas, like, you know, I don't know, medicine, like, sure, like, I don't, like, oh, you're having a heart attack, you're going to be fine, you're going to be okay, let me just, like, I don't know, like, help, like, I can't.
Okay, moving on. That was a great exchange. So we were talking a bit about this earlier, and I think you mentioned that the specific stuff that you want to pursue in economics are finance and investment banking, which I know is a very coveted field of interest here on campus. There's a lot of people trying to break into that. So I know it's seen as the very basic route to go in terms of internships and jobs, but I know that since there's so many people doing it, there must be different stories about how they came to that conclusion of wanting to do that. So I just wanted you to talk a little bit about what led you to that area of interest.
Okay, this is also gonna sound really bad. So like the same story. I think I take a lot of things from videos.
Okay.
Because like I watched Grey's Anatomy and I was like, I'm gonna become a doctor. I watched Elliot Choi And I was like, I want to go to Vanderbilt.
Goodbye.
And then I watched American Psycho. And I was like, I'm going to get into like, I'm going to be a Wall Street girly. I literally like, it was like a whole thing. I was like, oh my goodness, maybe I should be a Patrick Bateman. Like maybe like I'm an American Psycho. Like maybe that's for me. Like I want that lifestyle. And then after I watched American Psycho, I started just watching like a bunch of like day in the life on Wall Street. Day in the life as an investment banker.
Day in the life as a consultant.
Yeah. Or like data. Yeah. Or like a data analysis. And like, it was just a lot. It was a lot. I was really into those videos.
Okay.
And I was like, you know, maybe this is what I want to do. But, you know, considering I thought I wanted to become a doctor because of Grey's Anatomy, yeah. I don't know. But think about it. Me coming to Vanderbilt was all because of a video, too.
Yeah.
You know, I'm here.
I think it's just a matter of separating who inspires you and what influences you versus what you're really meant to do deep down that you know yourself and are trying to find. You know, and I think for someone like you who has had these sources of inspiration, shall we say, you're still in the process of finding out exactly what you want to do on your own terms without anyone else's input. So I just wanted to commend you for that and for being being transparent about your reasoning. I did want to ask you this, though. So there was this quote that called back to me for some reason during that conversation, and it was like, I am the captain of my own soul, blah 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 blah. And I feel like what you just described is kind of contrary to that, or like, I don't know, like a force that works against that, because we are so influenced by media and like other forms of information that like it sometimes deviates or conflicts with what we really want as individuals or what we deep down really value. So can you talk a little bit about how your initial interest in like med because of that, like how that friction kind of manifested itself out in the way that it did?
Well, yeah, like I, you know, obviously that I wanted to go to medicine because of Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
And then after like, I actually tried out like shadowing doctors and like, I don't know, like taking like pre-med classes. And I was like, like, I don't know this for me, like this is what I want to do. But then I would go and I would supplement that by watching day in the life as a pre-med student, or like day in the life, like being a resident. I'm like, oh, maybe this is, maybe like I would convince myself like this is what I'm going to get to, and I'm going to enjoy that, but I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is going to be fine once I get there. But then like, I just really like started to see like, I can't just keep basing this off of like other people being happy doing that. Like, what if I'm not happy doing that?
Yeah.
Like, I don't really, like, I was trying to convince myself so badly. Like, they're so dedicated. They're like, it's going to be worth it. Like, it's going to be worth it when I'm a doctor. But, like, I don't, for me, like, I don't think going through, like, all that would be worth it.
Yeah.
Personally.
Yeah. Yeah, so can we talk about what's next for Madeline Pinto? Like, what are in the works? Because I know for someone who you mentioned earlier was very introverted the first semester, you'd had to take kind of like a chiller experience of the high school, or sorry, the college. Wow. The college experience. Like, I know a lot of people are getting involved with different organizations. They're gearing up to be in leadership positions because we know that sophomores occupy most of them because juniors and seniors are out there doing stuff in the world. So what, how do you feel as a person who like didn't do any of that first semester, trying to catch up now second semester? Because I know we talked a bit about this.
Yes, this outside. Is a sore subject for me.
Oh, sorry.
No, you're literally fine. You know, first semester, I was just struggling, you know, to keep myself above the water with chem and bio. I was literally drowning. Valid. And I would like, you know, go to the occasional pre-med, whatever, like meeting for like, I don't even know the name of the organizations I was in. I was in them though, and I went to some meetings.
Okay.
And then, you know, like that's like my main focus was like just getting through those classes, and then I would figure out what I need to do in spring semester. But then I did like a whole 180. Like, I'm not even doing that anymore. It's like that's not even gonna count for anything. And my resume basically is only what I did in high school. So it's like, I just want to be able to get an opportunity here to get my foot in the door to build my resume, to get more opportunities. But it seems just like quite hard in general to start out if people only want you because like you already have experience.
Right.
When I'm just trying to get experience. So I guess I'm just trying for anything at the moment, you know, get some things, build that resume up.
Yeah.
And then hopefully next semester, sophomore year, I can come back even better and like steal these people's positions.
Earn. Not steal.
Not steal. Well, my valedictorian told me that things are... Okay, I'm not going to quote her.
Is your valedictorian Abby Lee Miller?
No, her name... Actually, I'm not going to drop her
Don't
name.
Don't drop her name,
I'm not going to drop her name, but she literally stole valedictorian from someone else.
Ooh.
It was a whole scandal. She got booed at graduation.
Let's not go for that cutthroat environment here.
We're not gonna quote her.
Yeah, but this is just advice for anyone who's like wondering, because I found myself in a similar position and wanted to explore the resources that we have here at Vanderbilt. Is that to cast a wide net is really beneficial for you, especially when you're starting out, because you never know like what interests you or like what opportunities arise. But just having something that gets you doing something and being able to talk about that experience and, I don't know, just like gaining the skill to apply to whatever area you end up doing. Because I feel like as long as you're doing something you're passionate about and that you put your hard work into it, you'll gain skills that you can talk about later, such as like dedication or like, I don't know, just perseverance, stuff like that. So have you had plans to utilize the resources here to help you like go in that direction?
I mean, yes. I'm setting up a meeting with the Career Center.
That's good.
You know, figure out how I need to build my resume. Obviously, I applied for a few business frats. Didn't get into those.
Okay.
You know, next semester. Do I hold a grudge? Maybe. But like, that's on me, not on them.
Mm.
You know, trying out, hopefully getting into like a few orgs. And then this summer, finding something. Let's hope I can find something.
You will.
Yeah, I think what you said about, like, casting a wider net, like, you need to do that. Like, I feel like that was really beneficial because, like, you don't know what you like until you try it.
Right.
So I think you should be willing to try almost everything, like, anything, like, any org, any, like, even if you think, like, oh, like, I'm not into that, like, you don't know.
Right.
So, yeah. Well,
thank you so much for talking with me today, Maddie.
Thank you so much, Eigen, for having me.
And thank you for all of our listeners. This has been the Human of the Commons interview. This is your host, Eigen. Till next time.
Commons Cast is produced by My Commons Life, a division of student media at Vanderbilt, in cooperation with the Office of the Dean of the Ingram Commons. Subscribe to Commons Cast at Apple Podcasts, or via your favorite podcast app.